From fasting to feasting is our meditation for tonight. The time to act, verse 1 to 8. The interlude, verse 9 to 14. There are times in life where we need the wisdom of God to do the will of God. And it is paramount that God show the way so that we may walk in the good will of God. Have you encountered those situations in life where you felt that you need to act, and yet you felt also that you lacked the wisdom to act? Well, this is such a time in Esther's life, and we find ourselves as a child of God very much needing the help of God to order our lives, to do that all of that which is pleasing in the sight of God. And so, if you read the Psalms, you'd find the psalmist seeking God in prayer for wisdom, for instruction, what to do, how to act before making that first move, before saying the first word. Psalm 31, verse 14, the psalmist said, "But I trusted in thee, O Lord." He was pleading with God. "Thou art my God." And he says, "My times are in thy hands. Deliver me from the hand of my enemies and from them that persecute me. Make thy face to shine upon thy servant. Save me for thy mercy's sake. Let me not be ashamed, O Lord, for I have called upon thee. Let the wicked be ashamed, and let them be silent in the grave. Let the lying lips be put to silence, which speak grievous things proudly and contemptuously against the righteous. Oh, how great is thy goodness, which thou hast laid up for them that fear thee, which thou hast wrought for them that trust in thee before the sons of men." He was bearing his heart before God. He says, "I have tried to walk with thee in thy will. Show me thy way. I know my weaknesses and I need thee. Lord, protect me. Thou shalt hide them in the secret of thy presence from the pride of men. Thou shalt keep them secretly in a pavilion from the strife of tongues. Blessed be the Lord, for he has showed me his marvelous kindness in a strong city. For I said in my haste, I am cut off from before thy eyes. Nevertheless, thou heardest the voice of my supplication when I cried, O love the Lord, all ye saints, for the Lord preserveth the faithful and plentifully rewardeth the proud doer. Be of a good courage, and he shall strengthen your heart, all ye that hope in the Lord." Our heroine, Esther, must have felt great inadequacy as she raced with time to prevent a major holocaust for the destruction of God's chosen people in Persia. The date was set to be 7th of March 473 BC. The decree has been given, this would come. And it was on the April the 17th, 474 BC, some 11 months before, that Mordecai conveyed to Esther through the eunuch Hatak that the king's decree was given for their destruction. And so you recall, last week, we were at Esther chapter 4, and we were given the account of how Esther was being informed of the decree that was given by the king. She was oblivious of it, being in the palace, within the harem, and therefore his foster father, Mordecai, sent word so that she may know what is befalling her people. And it's interesting in verse 14 of chapter 4, we saw how Esther told, after Esther told Mordecai that she has no audience with the king for 30 days already, that Mordecai sent word to Esther in verse 14. If thou altogether holdest thy peace at this time, then shall their enlargement and deliverance arise to the Jews from another place. It is interesting how this term was phrased, how Mordecai said that if you do not act, God will act. God's vengeance would come. You have a duty before God to do this. And verse 14 ended. Who knoweth whether thou art come to such a time as this? Esther knew what she ought to do, and therefore she declared those famous words, her conviction to take action, as we close Esther chapter 4, by her words of resolve. She said, if I perish, I perish. She requested the Jews in the palace to fast for her 3 days and three nights. And so this is the scene opening in chapter 5. On the third day, so they were asked to fast for 3 days. And on the third day, Esther acted. You might be wondering, aren't they supposed to fast 3 days and three nights? So this is the third day. Why is she moving forward? If you were to study and look at the way the Jews or the Bible record calendar days and time, you'd find that when they are actually referring to the calendar days, one after the other, just like during the time when it is recorded that Jesus would rise again on the third day. It was not three full days, for he died on Friday in the afternoon. That's considered one day. Saturday was a full day. But Sunday was just a few hours, you know, early in the morning. Mary Magdalene went to the tomb and she saw the angel rolled open the tomb, and she beheld that the tomb was empty. Jesus has resurrected. And so the text tells us that on the third day, it was time for Esther to act. And through all the preparation, she was ready. She was prepared to seek an unauthorized audience with the king. God gave her the necessary courage to know that this is the time. The king was sitting on his royal throne in the throne room when Esther approached him. Verse 2. And it was so, when the king saw Esther, the queen, standing in the court, that she obtained favor in his sight, and the king held out to Esther the golden scepter that was in his hand. So Esther drew near and touched the top of the scepter. The king graciously received Esther, and she found favor in the sight of the king. This was a very crucial move. She needed to time it correctly. Right at the time when the king was sitting in his throne room and she in the opposite court could be seen by the king. And her appearance, the way she would portray herself, project herself, would cause the king to grant to her favor. We like to submit to you that these are all in the hands of God. As Proverbs chapter 21 verse 1 says, the king's heart is in the hand of the Lord. As the rivers of water he turneth whithersoever he will. We observe here how God's power was over the heart of this king to change his mind for the sake of his people. It's so interesting, isn't it? when you understand that God is in control of all things. There are some people in life that are greater than life, as it were, to us. And, you know, we realize that, wow, things seem to be so insurmountable. And yet, when we think carefully, and when we consider our position before God, before men, we realize that as children of God, we are under the care of God. We are under the protective, providential guidance and protection of God. You recall last week we were studying in our, some of you were here, we were studying the account in Genesis chapter 20, when Abraham was afraid of Abimelech, the Philistine king, and how he lied concerning his relationship with Sarah, and how God protected him. He was so afraid when he went, when he was at the Philistine territory and he was with his wife, and how he did not trust God to protect them, and how for the second time after 20 years he lied again. We recall that he lied 20 years ago when he came down from Canaan, from Ur to Canaan, and how there was a famine and he went into Egypt. And when he went into Egypt, he was afraid that Pharaoh would kill him, and he lied concerning the relationship he had between his wife and himself. And so he was not conscious of the presence of God guiding and leading to cause him, you know, not to do the right thing. But you see how God overturned, right? Abimelech was given a dream in the night, and God spoke to him to say that, hey, this Sarah is the wife of Abraham. Do not touch her, because if you do so, you would have sinned against me. You recall, and how Abimelech was so afraid because God was fast closing up the womb of his entire household. And so he had to go to Abraham and said that, you know, you shouldn't lie to me. I know your God is the Almighty God. You know, he's protecting you. You ought not to do this. I won't do anything to your wife. This is your wife, and this is these are all the things that I would give to you, you know, in compensation for what I may have done to mistreat you in your time spent here. And you know, this is the plain in the territory that you can freely enjoy. And so God overturned, and you see how God is in control of every situation in the life of his people. And God just wants us to do the right thing. And even when we have failed the Lord, when we have done that which we ought not to do, you see how God marvelously overturned things, in the sense that he protected Abraham. And so if you were to look at it in that, from that anger, and if you were to look at Esther in her predicament now, you would be able to see, you know, she was in jitters. She really needed God's help, and you see God's presence with her, right? How God did marvelously granted her the king's favor. And you also recall how Nehemiah was given the mandate to go back to Jerusalem to rebuild the walls. Well, he was also in that situation whereby he had to meet the king, Artaxerxes, in order to give, to grant favor to return to build the broken walls of Jerusalem. As the proverb says, the king's heart is in the hand of the Lord, as the rivers of water. You know, this is a description of a man-made waterway, an irrigation canal used for farming. So by this, a man can control the raising of his crop. He did not have to wait for the rain to come. And, well, as you look at it, God is the one that directs the king's heart. How he was able to make that which was possible in an impossible situation. We see here the king acknowledging Esther's presence, and she was spared from immediate execution. Then the king said unto her, "What wilt thou, Queen Esther, and what is thy request? It shall be given thee to the half of the kingdom." It is providential also how the king showed favor to her to the extent that he would give to her half his kingdom. We see this similar scenario in the life of in a situation in the New Testament when Salome, the daughter of Herodias, came in the audience of Herod the king, and how the king also said to Salome after she gave a good dance to please the king, that he would give to her half, even half of the kingdom. And what did she do? She went back and asked her mother, "What should I say to the king?" And the king and the mother said, she was in a very wicked way, you know, said, "I want to have the head of John the Baptist in a charger." And you see how kings have the power to move things, right? And this way or that way, you'll find that he can move it such that, you know, John the Baptizer had to die. A most dear prophet of God who did the right thing. And here, Esther, you see, you know, what makes us think that the king would show her favor? It is all in the sight of, it is all in the hands of God. And so, therefore, we realize how we are very much in God's living, alive in God's hand, and that our lives daily are in the will and the goodwill of God, and God has a purpose, has a reason to place us in this time, in this era, in this place. Verse 4, Esther answered. So she was given, as it were, the open check. Right? If it seem good unto the king, let the king and Haman come this day unto the banquet that I have prepared for him. Then the king said, "Cause Haman to make haste, that he may do as Esther has said." So the king and Haman came to the banquet that Esther had prepared. We see here how Esther did not immediately speak her request, but instead she invited the king and Haman to a private banquet. The text did not tell us what was in between, what was in the mind of Esther, what went on, right? But you would be able to see and understand the hand of God leading and guiding the circumstances, how God was there. Although God is not specified, as it were, in the text throughout the book, the same for us in our lives. It is, as it were, our invisible God is nowhere to be seen. And yet, through the circumstances and through the happenings in life, we can trace the hand of God leading and guiding. And it must cause us to give thanks. What a great God we have. And as we study this account, we see how God must have given to Esther the cue. It is not the appropriate time to speak. Not the right time. Okay. And so she delayed to speak her heart. And verse 6 says, "And the king said unto Esther at the banquet of wine, What is thy petition? It shall be granted thee." So for a second time, the king stated, you know, that, "Tell me." And So for Esther, it must be really an opportune moment, isn't it? The king has asked twice, what is it you want? She could have just said this and that's it. But why is it that she said, wait, if I find favor in your sight, then come together with Haman for a banquet, a private banquet, the next day. There was a risk there, isn't it, if you think of it. Time was in their sight. Time was could not be on their side also. She was risking not having a second opportunity. The king may not say to her again, I will give you to the half of your kingdom. Right? You remember Salome said yes, and she got her request to have the head of John the Baptist in a charger. But for Esther, she delayed the interlude. Verse 9 to 14. Then Haman went forth that day joyful with a glad heart. Well, she felt himself so happy because he had gained not only the king's favor, but the queen herself has invited him to come for a private banquet. Wow. So he was overjoyed. Verse 9 says, but when Haman saw Mordecai in the king's gate, he stood not up nor moved for him. He was full of indignation against Mordecai. And he went home. He told his wife. He told his children what great glory the king has done to him and how he was promoted. And how he was advanced above the princes and the servants of the king. And then he said that even the queen asked for an audience with me together with the king for a banquet tomorrow. And then she said, wow, all this is so good. But that Mordecai, that Jew sitting at the king's gate. And so the king, Mordecai's wife, Haman's wife, suggested, why don't you make a gallows quickly, 50 cubits high, that's almost calculated 23 meters tall, a big, huge gallows, and said, that get it done tomorrow, speak to the king and have him hanged. You see here the vindictiveness and the kind of hatred that Haman has against Mordecai. So this is the interlude. We'll see more of the story next week in chapter 6 when the action would heat up. Chapter 6 and chapter 7 these are the core chapters that described what actually happened, how God turned the tables, how God caused a deliverance to be given. You know, and you can trace it to the hand of God working out his marvelous plan for his people, for his chosen people. Remember, the Messiah would come out of Israel, and God had to work that all out by his infinite wisdom. And God is also working out our lives by his infinite wisdom. He has a plan for your life, how you are born in such a time as this. And God has a purpose for our existence. And he has given us his word to direct us what we ought to do. We have a commission to fulfill. We have a mission before God that he has given to us, given to this church, to fulfill our gospel, to repay our gospel debt. And the Lord wants us to abide in him, and the Lord wants us to seek him as he would direct us to fulfill his purpose for our lives. And that's why we come for prayer meeting. It's a time when we can seek God to understand from the Lord what is His will for our lives. We may not know this way or that way. To do that, to be here, to be there, we find ourselves lacking wisdom. But God can show through His Word, through the still small voice of His Holy Spirit. He will direct us. If we would only be quiet before Him, to wait upon Him as we pray, He will show us what we ought to do. And we ought to make this a regular habit in our lives, so that every time when we are faced with decisions, crossroads, we are able to know the mind of Christ, the will of God. And then we do, and we receive the blessing of the Almighty God. From fasting to feasting, the time of prayer to the time when she had to act, and how the Lord directed her. May the Lord help us. May the Lord guide us as we do His will in our lives. May God grant to us His wisdom and His blessing. Let us pray. Father in heaven, we want to thank Thee that we can come tonight once again for prayer. Lord, we want to acknowledge before Thee our need of Thee. We want to acknowledge before Thee how Thou art our God, and we are Thy people. And we are a needy people. By ourselves, we have no wisdom. By ourselves, we are lost. But Lord, help us to be connected with Thee, our great shepherd of the sheep, that we may understand Thy will, and may Thou guide us to green pastures and still waters, that indeed we may receive Thy nourishment, Thy guidance, and Thy protection through life's thorny pathways. Be with us and strengthen us. This I pray in Jesus' name. Amen.